This is the reading for July 26th. Proverbs 15. A gentle answer will calm a person's anger, but an unkind answer will cause more anger. Wise people use knowledge when they speak, but fools pour out foolishness. The Lord's eyes see everything. He watches both evil and good people. As a tree gives fruit, healing words give life, but dishonest words crush the spirit. Fools reject their parents' correction, but anyone who accepts correction is wise. Much wealth is in the houses of good people, but evil people get nothing but trouble. Wise people use their words to spread knowledge, but there is no knowledge in the thoughts of fools. The Lord hates the sacrifice that the wicked offer, but He likes the prayers of honest people. The Lord hates what evil people do, but He loves those who do what is right. The person who quits doing what is right will be punished, and the one who hates to be corrected will die. The Lord knows what is happening in the world of the dead, so He surely knows the thoughts of the living. Those who make fun of wisdom don't like to be corrected. They will not ask the wise for advice. Happiness makes a person smile, but sadness can break a person's spirit. People with understanding want more knowledge, but fools just want more foolishness. Every day is hard for those who suffer, but a happy heart is like a continual feast. It is better to be poor and respect the Lord than to be wealthy and have much trouble. It is better to eat vegetables with those who love you than to eat meat with those who hate you. People with quick tempers cause trouble, but those who control their tempers stop a quarrel. A lazy person's life is like a patch of thorns, but an honest person's life is like a smooth highway. A wise son makes his father happy, but a foolish son disrespects his mother. A person without wisdom enjoys being foolish, but someone with understanding does what is right. Plans fail without good advice, but they succeed with the advice of many others. People enjoy giving good advice. Saying the right word at the right time is so pleasing. Wise people's lives get better and better. They avoid whatever would cause their death. The Lord will tear down the proud person's house, but He will protect the widow's property. The Lord hates evil thoughts, but is pleased with kind words. Greedy people bring trouble to their families, but the person who can't be paid to do wrong will live. Good people think before they answer, but the wicked simply pour out evil. The Lord does not listen to the wicked, but He hears the prayers of those who do right. Good news makes you feel better. Your happiness will show in your eyes. If you listen to correction to improve your life, you will live among the wise. Those who refuse correction hate themselves, but those who accept correction gain understanding. Respect for the Lord will teach you wisdom. If you want to be honored, you must be humble. Ezra chapter 7. After these things, during the rule of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra came up from Babylon. Ezra was the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the high priest. This Ezra came to Jerusalem from Babylon. He was a teacher and knew well the teachings of Moses that had been given by the Lord, the God of Israel. Ezra received everything he asked for from the king, because the Lord his God was helping him. In the seventh year of King Artaxerxes, more Israelites came to Jerusalem. Among them were priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, and temple servants. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of Artaxerxes' seventh year as king. Ezra had left Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, because God was helping him. Ezra had worked hard to know and obey the teachings of the Lord, and to teach His rules and commands to the Israelites. King Artaxerxes had given a letter to Ezra, a priest and teacher who taught about the commands and laws the Lord gave Israel. This is a copy of the letter. from Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, a teacher of the law of the God of heaven. Greetings. Now I give this order. Any Israelite in my kingdom who wishes may go with you to Jerusalem, including priests and Levites. Ezra, you are sent by the king and the seven people who advise him to ask how Judah and Jerusalem are obeying the law of your God, which you are carrying with you. Also take with you the silver and gold that the king and those who advise him have given freely to the God of Israel, whose temple is in Jerusalem. Also take the silver and gold you receive from the area of Babylon. Take the offerings the Israelites and their priests have given as gifts for the temple of your God in Jerusalem. With this money, buy bulls, male sheep, and lambs, and the grain offerings and drink offerings that go with those sacrifices. Then sacrifice them on the altar in the temple of your God in Jerusalem. You and your fellow Jews may spend the silver and gold left over as you want and as God wishes. Take to the God of Jerusalem all the utensils for worship in the temple of your God, which we have given you. Use the royal treasury to pay for anything else you need for the temple of your God. Now I, King Artaxerxes, give this order to all the men in charge of the treasury of Trans-Euphrates. Give Ezra, a priest and a teacher of the law of the God of heaven, whatever he asks for. Give him up to 7,500 pounds of silver, 600 bushels of wheat, 600 gallons of wine, and 600 gallons of olive oil. And give him as much salt as he wants. Carefully give him whatever the God of heaven wants for the temple of the God of heaven. We do not want God to be angry with the king and his sons. Remember, you must not make these people pay taxes of any kind. Priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants, and other workers in this temple of God. And you, Ezra, use the wisdom you have from your God to choose judges and lawmakers to rule the Jewish people of Trans-Euphrates. They know the laws of your God, and you may teach anyone who does not know them. Whoever does not obey the law of your God or of the king must be punished. He will be killed or sent away or have his property taken away or be put in jail. Praise the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He caused the king to want to honor the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. The Lord has shown me, Ezra, his love in the presence of the king, those who advise the king, and the royal officers. Because the Lord my God was helping me, I had courage and I gathered the leaders of Israel to return with me. Ezra chapter 8. These are the leaders of the family groups and those who were listed with them who came back with me from Babylon during the rule of King Artaxerxes. From the descendants of Phinehas, Gershom. From the descendants of Ithamar, Daniel. From the descendants of David, Hattush of the descendants of Shechaniah. From the descendants of Parash, Zechariah with 150 men. From the descendants of Pahath-Moab, Eliehonai, son of Zerahiah, with 200 men. From the descendants of Zattu, Shechaniah, son of Zahaziel, with 300 men. From the descendants of Adin, Ebed, son of Jonathan, with 50 men. From the descendants of Elam, Jeshiah, son of Athaliah, with 70 men. From the descendants of Shephatiah, Zebediah, son of Michael, with 80 men. From the descendants of Joab, Obadiah, son of Jehiel, with 218 men. From the descendants of Bani, Shelemith, son of Josaphiah, with 160 men. From the descendants of Babai, Zechariah, son of Babai, with 28 men. From the descendants of Azgad, Johanan, son of Hakatan, with 110 men. From the descendants of Adonikam, these were the last ones, Eliphelet, Jewel, and Shemaiah, with 60 men. From the descendants of Bigvai, Uthai, and Zachor, with 70 men. I called those people together at the canal that flows toward Ahava, where we camped for 3 days. I checked all the people and the priests, but I did not find any Levites. So I called these leaders, Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And I called Joreb and Elnathan, who were teachers, I sent these men to Iddo, the leader, at Cassiphia, and told them what to say to Iddo and his relatives, who are the temple servants in Cassiphia. I sent them to bring servants to us for the temple of our God. Our God was helping us, so Iddo's relatives gave us Sherebiah, a wise man from the descendants of Mahli, son of Levi, who was the son of Israel. And they brought Sherebiah's sons and brothers for a total of 18 men. And they brought to us Hashabiah and Jeshiah from the descendants of Merari, and his brothers and nephews. In all, there were 20 men. They also brought 220 of the temple servants, a group David and the officers had set up to help the Levites. All of those men were listed by name. There, by the Ahava Canal, I announced we would all give up eating and humble ourselves before our God. We would ask God for a safe trip for ourselves, our children, and all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road. We had said to the king, "Our God helps everyone who obeys him," but he is very angry with all who reject him. So we gave up eating and prayed to our God about our trip, and he answered our prayers. Then I chose 12 of the priests who were leaders, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their relatives. I weighed the offering of silver and gold and the utensils given for the temple of our God, and I gave them to the 12 priests I had chosen. The king, the people who advised him, his officers, and all the Israelites there with us had given these things for the temple. I weighed out and gave them about 50,000 pounds of silver, about 7,500 pounds of silver objects, and about 7,500 pounds of gold. I gave them 20 gold bowls that weighed about 19 pounds, and 2 fine pieces of polished bronze that were as valuable as gold. Then I said to the priests, "You and these utensils belong to the Lord for his service. The silver and gold are gifts to the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Guard these things carefully. In Jerusalem, weigh them in front of the leading priests, Levites, and the leaders of the family groups of Israel in the rooms of the temple of the Lord." So the priests and Levites accepted the silver, the gold, and the utensils that had been weighed to take them to the temple of our God in Jerusalem. On the 12th day of the first month, we left the Ahava Canal and started toward Jerusalem. Our God helped us and protected us from enemies and robbers along the way. Finally, we arrived in Jerusalem, where we rested 3 days. On the 4th day, we weighed out the silver, the gold, and the utensils in the temple of our God. We handed them to the priest Meremoth, son of Uriah. Eleazar, son of Phinehas, was with him, as were the leaders Jozabad, son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, son of Binui. We checked everything by number and by weight, and the total weight was written down. Then the captives who returned made burnt offerings to the God of Israel. They sacrificed 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 male sheep, and 77 lambs. For a sin offering, there were 12 male goats. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. They took King Artaxerxes' orders to the royal officers and to the governors of Trans-Euphrates. Then these men gave help to the people and the temple of God.
Chapter 17.
Paul and Silas traveled through the cities of Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to the city of Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue. As usual, Paul went into the synagogue. On 3 consecutive days of worship, he had discussions about Scripture with the synagogue members. He explained and showed them that the Messiah had to suffer, die, and come back to life, and that Jesus, the person he talked about, was this Messiah. Some of the Jews were persuaded to join Paul and Silas, especially a large group of Greeks who had converted to Judaism and the wives of many prominent men. Then the Jews became jealous. They took some low-class characters who hung around the public square, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They attacked Jason's home and searched it for Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. When they didn't find Paul and Silas, they dragged Jason and some other believers in front of the city officials. They shouted, "Those men who have made trouble all over the world are now here in Thessalonica, and Jason has welcomed them as his guests." All of them opposed the emperor's decrees by saying that there is another king, whose name is Jesus. The crowd and the officials were upset when they heard this, but after they had made Jason and the others post bond, they let them go. Immediately, when night came, the believers sent Paul and Silas to the city of Berea. When Paul and Silas arrived in the city of Berea, they entered the synagogue. The people of Berea were more open-minded than the people of Thessalonica. They were very willing to receive God's message, and every day they carefully examined the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. Many of them became believers, and quite a number of them were prominent Greek men and women. But when the Jews in Thessalonica found out that Paul was also spreading God's word in Berea, they went there to upset and confuse the people. The believers immediately sent Paul to the seacoast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. The men who escorted Paul took him all the way to the city of Athens. When the men left Athens, they took instructions back to Silas and Timothy to join Paul as soon as possible. While Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Athens, he saw that the city had statues of false gods everywhere. This upset him. He held discussions in the synagogue with Jews and converts to Judaism. He also held discussions every day in the public square with anyone who happened to be there. Some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers had discussions with him. Some asked, "What is this babbling fool trying to say?" Others said, "He seems to be speaking about foreign gods." The philosophers said these things because Paul was telling the good news about Jesus and saying that people would come back to life. Then they brought Paul to the city court, the Areopagus, and asked, "Could you tell us these new ideas that you're teaching? Some of the things you say sound strange to us, so we would like to know what they mean." Everyone who lived in Athens looked for opportunities to tell or hear something new and unusual. Paul stood in the middle of the court and said, "Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious. As I was going through your city and looking closely at the objects you worship, I noticed an altar with this written on it, 'To an unknown God.' I'm telling you about the unknown God you worship. The God who made the universe and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in shrines made by humans, and he isn't served by humans as if he needed anything. He gives everyone life, breath, and everything they have. From one man, he has made every nation of humanity to live all over the earth. He has given them the seasons of the year and the boundaries within which to live. He has done this so that they would look for God, somehow reach for him and find him. In fact, he is never far from any one of us. Certainly, we live, move, and exist because of him. As some of your poets have said, we are God's children. So if we are God's children, we shouldn't think that the divine being is like an image made from gold, silver, or stone, an image that is the product of human imagination and skill. God overlooked the times when people didn't know any better, but now he commands everyone everywhere to turn to him and change the way they think and act. He has set a day when he is going to judge the world with justice, and he will use a man he has appointed to do this. God has given proof to everyone that he will do this by bringing that man back to life." When the people of the court heard that a person had come back to life, some began joking about it, while others said, "We'll hear you talk about this some other time." With this response, Paul left the court. Some men joined him and became believers. With them were Dionysius, who was a member of the court, and a woman named Damaris, and some other people.